Hi, I'm Marianne Williamson, and the tape you're about to hear is a live lecture I gave based on the ideas in a self-study program of spiritual psychotherapy called A Course in Miracles. A Course in Miracles is not a religion, but a psychological training in the relinquishment of a thought system based on fear and the acceptance instead of a thought system based on love.
Together, we all take a very deep breath. We see in the middle of our mind a little ball of golden light. We watch this light as it begins to grow larger and larger until now it covers the entire inner vision of our mind. We see for ourselves within this light a beautiful temple. We see a garden that surrounds the temple and a body of water that flows through the garden. We see that the inside of the temple is lit by this same beautiful golden light. And we are here, for we have been drawn together by the power and in the presence of God. We dedicate our time spent together, as well as our relationships to each other, to Him. We ask that His Holy Spirit, who is within us, so guide our thoughts, our feelings, and our perceptions, that we might grow to become happier, more peaceful, more loving human beings. Thank you very much. We all say, Amen. This morning I'd like to talk about the subject of commitment. I thought why I wasn't going to be here today, but I'll do it anyway. There's a line on page 315 of the text of the Course in Miracles which says, "Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all of the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. It is not necessary to seek for what is true, but it is necessary to seek for what is false. Every illusion is one of fear, whatever form it takes, and the attempt to escape from one illusion into another must fail. If you seek love outside yourself, you can be certain that you perceive hatred within and are afraid of it. Yet peace will never come from the illusion of love, but only from its reality. Recognize this, for it is true, and truth must be recognized if it is to be distinguished from illusion. The special love relationship is an attempt to bring love into fear and make it real in fear. In fundamental violation of love's condition, the special love relationship would accomplish the impossible. How but in illusion could this be done? It is essential that we look very closely at exactly what it is you think you can do to solve the dilemma which seems very real to you but which does not exist. You have come close to truth, and only this stands between you and the bridge that leads you into it. Heaven waits silently, and your creations are holding out their hands to help you cross and welcome them. For it is they you seek. You seek but for your own completion, and it is they who render you complete. The special love relationship is but a shabby substitute for what makes you whole in truth, not in illusion. Your relationship with them is without guilt, and this enables you to look on all your brothers with gratitude because your creations were created in union with them. Acceptance of your creations is the oneness of creation without which you could never be complete. No specialness can offer you what God has given and what you are joined with Him in giving. Across the bridge is your completion, for you will be holy in God, willing for nothing special, but only to be wholly like to Him, completing Him by your completion. Fear not to cross to the abode of peace and perfect holiness. Only there is the completion of God and of His Son established forever. Seek not for this in the bleak world of illusion, where nothing is certain and where everything fails to satisfy. In the name of God, be wholly willing to abandon all illusions. In any relationship in which you are wholly willing to accept completion and only this, there is God completed and His Son with Him." Unquote. Now, most of you are students of the Course in Miracles, and so you know that the idea of the special relationship, which is a term used in the Course in Miracles, but most the way to compare this to our modern cultural concept is really the closest you can get to it is the whole idea of romantic love, actually. The Course in Miracles says that this is an idea that did not come from God. See, the Course in Miracles says that we are thoughts in the mind of God. All we are is a product of His extension. And so what our lives are meant to be are lives in which, first of all, God extends into us, and then the power of God continues through us, so that then we become co-creators with God, and everything that comes from us is therefore a further extension from God. But when our minds are used in a way that they are not in co-creative capacity with God, then we come up with things that are manufactured products of our own mind, but which do not come from God. Now, in the Course in Miracles, we keep away from the concept of good or bad or even right or wrong, although the Course does talk about right-minded, wrong-minded. What it does talk to us about, however, is what is true and what is false. What that means is that what is true means that we're using our minds the way God intended us to use our minds. We are in touch with truth, which means the thoughts of God coming through us. And the thing to remember here is not good and bad, but it is important to remember that truth works. And what that means is that that which is truthful that is coming through us gives us peace, gives us abundance, gives us life that works. Now, the special relationship, the Course in Miracles tells us, is actually an idea that the ego mind came up with. And the ego mind is the part of the mind that is not in touch with God. It is the part of the mind that seems to be split away from God. And the special relationship, the Course says, is actually the ego's chief weapon for keeping us out of heaven. Now, what heaven is for us is the deep peace and even bliss that comes when we achieve an awareness of our oneness with other people. So when you are thinking the thoughts of God, that's what it means to say this takes you to heaven. Not after you die, right now. And it is also true then to say that the ego mind, which is the thinking not of God, takes you straight to hell. Means takes you straight to a sense of separation. Now the ego mind has set it up so that we growing up in a culture such as ours think that this special relationship, this romantic love, would take us straight to heaven. But the Course in Miracles says, now wait a minute. For you to only relationships that have God working through you take you straight to heaven, because only thinking like God takes you straight to heaven. And God does not love anyone as special. God loves everyone equally. So the idea of the special love relationship, although the ego mind tells you, oh, it'll take you straight to heaven, a belief in that myth as your salvation does not take you to heaven, it takes you to hell. But then you knew that before you read this book. Because that's everybody's experience, that the special love relationship is full of anxiety, is full of guilt, and full of despair. And that is because the dictates of the ego in this area is seek but do not find. Now, the Course in Miracles tells us that we are to be committed, you should consider yourself as committed 100% in every relationship that you are in. Now, this idea of commitment is so interesting because when in this society, in normal social conversation, when people talk about somebody's ability to commit, usually they're talking about two things that the Course in Miracles says are irrelevant, the body and time. Now, the Course in Miracles says when you commit to someone deep with your heart, this does not mean I commit that I'll be here 2 years from now, regardless of how I feel. That's not a spiritual concept. There's nothing noble about this in the Course in Miracles terms. To commit your body is not a real commitment, the Course says, because our real commitment in relationships has nothing to do with the body. It has to do with the depth of our mind. You know, the Course in Miracles points out to us again something which we all already know, and that is that you can be living with someone and not be involved with them at all. There's a beautiful section in the Course where it talks about you can, you know, lie in the same bed, you can be under the same roof of someone and yet be in different worlds from them. So to have someone commit to you that their body will be there no matter what we need to open ourselves to is the realization that this is really not necessarily any kind of commitment at all. You know, we were brought up in a world where so many of us saw how people would stay together long past the time when there was really anything going on in the relationship. So then there was the pendulum swing, and it seemed like we, it's like we would leave at the first sign of minor boredom. Obviously, that was not the answer either. So now there seems to be in some people this tendency, now everybody's talking about we have to go back to committed relationships. But what I'm seeing occur around me, particularly in people who are either married or in some other kind of intense involvement, is something going back to what used to be, which is, yeah, it's a drag, but I should be committed. As though a committed relationship is a prison that we're all willing to accept for some higher noble purpose. Now, the Course in Miracles says that your commitment in any relationship is not to someone else's dream, not to someone else's illusion. Your commitment in any relationship is to God. And remember, God is joy. So when you have the normal coming from the ego, what people think of as commitment, the Course in Miracles says what you do in romantic relationships is that everybody comes to a kind of negotiating table. And we have this idea that here are the pictures that I want this relationship to be, and I'm going to ask you to suit those pictures. This is a marvelous line, page 570 in the Course. Do not ascribe to your brother a role that you imagine would bring happiness to you, and do not try to hurt him when he fails to take the part that you assign to him in what you dream your life was meant to be, unquote. The Course in Miracles says, your brother, your relationship with your brother is not here to satisfy the picture that you have of what you want. Now, the Course in Miracles says that your relationship will not at all hurt you as long as when you go into it, you say, this relationship is not here to serve my purposes. It is here to serve God's purposes. And you cannot know in any given present moment what those purposes are to be in the future. So romantic love is very much based on the past, what we feel happened to us in the past, what we feel didn't happen to us in the past. The Course says we go into intimate relationships very into what we didn't get in the past and what we think we need now. And we also come into them dominated by thoughts of what we think we need in the future. And what that means, of course, is that when you're so focused on the past or you're so focused on the future, you have a very difficult time existing from a deep level of forgiveness in the present. Now, forgiveness is the purpose of relationships in the Course in Miracles. Because what forgiveness means is when you can stand in any situation and really know that anything other than a perception of innocence in the person in front of you, in order that you might perceive your own innocence, anything other than that is an illusion. But the issue of the special relationship, romantic relationship, is the greatest illusion of all, mainly because it's been a tremendous cultural stimulus within us. Now, for women, all of that is also involved with certain hormonal and biological needs that come up. Except even your body is answering to, at least unconsciously, to some of the mythology that you've been brought up with since you were a little girl. So if society told you that, well, this hormonal thing would be fixed if he would come and stay and just pretty much indicate he'll stay forever, marry me, whatever, if you think that, then that will seem to be the condition of your mind. Now, the Course in Miracles points out to us, as I said, something that we already know, and that there is something very dangerous about that, because it is imposing on people something that limits freedom. We cannot find release, the Course in Miracles says, in bondage. We can only find release in freedom. Now, that means, of course, that we have to come up with entirely different, it's like we have to completely open the mind on this subject. It's like there's a tremendous opening that needs to occur. Somebody was telling me the other day about talking to her mother in Austria on the phone, and she said, well, you know, it's hard because it's real difficult to talk about emotions in the German language. It's interesting. Every language is so interesting. In the German language, if you want to talk about philosophy, it's the best language in the world. But because of all the concepts that they have words for, that we, for instance, in English don't even have words for. But in terms of the emotions, it's difficult to, there aren't the words that really make it easy to talk about our deeper emotions. Now, the reason I mention this is because we have it set up, even in terms of our language, that it's very difficult to talk about this without it almost seeming that what you're proposing is a return to superficiality in relationships. When really what the Course in Miracles is talking about here is a complete absence of superficiality in relationships. And yet, you know, sometimes people will come up to you and they'll say, well, how's your relationship doing? And you have to ask yourself, well, what do they mean exactly by that? Because most people in our society, when they ask you how your relationship is doing, what they're asking is, whose body is where? They're asking whose body is where and what do they plan to do with their bodies in the next 6 months to 3 years. Now, the Course in Miracles says whose body is where and what they plan to do with their bodies in the next few months or years is not what indicates the depth of a relationship, nor is it what indicates the commitment factor in a relationship. The Course in Miracles would say you're so concerned about this person committing to you in terms of what you think you need in order to be happy. But what about your commitment to their growth? What about your commitment to being there to help them in their lives to go through everything that they need to go through in order to be the most abundant people that they can be? Now, one of the things I recognize that I do in relationships, and I'm sure that everybody does it, is that you really have to admit to yourself sometimes how, you know, an intimate relationship is like anything else in life. On one hand, it offers you the greatest lessons and the greatest joy. But whenever there is light, there is a real potential for darkness, too. It's a real potential for the ego to get in there. So sometimes intimate relationships can be so lovely and so sweet and so fun that we use them to avoid the relationship with ourselves. Now, what the Course in Miracles says is you're looking for someone else to complete you when the real issue in a life is to complete yourself. And you cannot get completion from another person. Completion in your life is not about anything that anyone outside yourself gives to you. And that was what we were just talking about in this section, seek not outside yourself. Commitment is about what you give in your own creations, as the Course in Miracles would say it. Now, we have this idea, well, I would love to give love to this one particular person. If I only was able to have this context, then I would be able to do that. But what the Course in Miracles talks about is your real commitment on this world, your primary relationship. And your real relationship, the Course says, is with the universe. How is your relationship with the universe? Stop thinking right now so much about your one relationship with this one particular person. The Course says, how is your relationship with the universe? What is your real, in a sense, romantic give and take with God? Because what God is the love in every person. So sometimes you realize that it is when you get away from a strict orientation to a particular body that you actually are thrown back on yourself and go through a lot of processes that you could have only gone through by yourself. And a lot of those processes that you can only go through by yourself does not have to mean that you are less committed in a relationship. But on the other hand, it shouldn't foster guilt. Somebody else shouldn't have to feel abandoned just because bodies are not finding that same kind of proximity. Now, like I said, one of the real difficulties in realizing this and opening your mind to it is the fact that some of the people who are best intentioned in your life don't really see your kind of interpretation of relationships and often will feel like expressing their condolences at the same time that you feel that you deserve congratulations for these deep breakthroughs that you are making in the way of relationships. Do you know what I'm saying? The idea of abundance in relationship does not mean, the Course says, that one incomplete person is meeting another incomplete person. That's not what relationship is for. Your intimate relationship with someone is not here to fix you. On the other hand, too many people seem to think, well, I can only find that fix from God, and then they seek God as some abstract out there. Now, when we say that a particular relationship cannot fix you, only your relationship to God can heal you, still your relationship to God does have to do with your relationship to other people. So it would mean actually your relationship even to that person that you were in intimate contact with, but it's coming from a place that has to do with a different orientation towards their personality. By that, the Course in Miracles is saying that everybody that you meet is first and foremost, and actually only, as the Course would say, your brother. It is someone who is part of you. But that does not mean that your intimate relationship, your romantic attachment, is some different category of existence than someone else. See, we still have this huge distinction. We think, well, this idea that there's this category here, this romantic love, and then over there are platonic relationships or whatever, or parental relationships, or brother and sister relationships, as though the romantic involvement is some different category of experience. If you think of romantic love as a different category of human experience, then you are by definition coming from the ego, because the Holy Spirit in us does not see any categories of love. The Holy Spirit in us sees that there is no love but God's, and the only meaning of any human interaction is how you might be there as a brother in order to help that person to find for themselves exactly what you're trying so hard to find for yourself. And that is deep honesty and deep truth and deep growth. And sometimes deep honesty and deep growth and deep forgiveness means somebody saying to somebody else that which their ego doesn't want to hear. Now, the Course in Miracles says, now, don't stop there. Don't stop there. Don't just because somebody's ego got hurt, don't just turn away from each other. On the other hand, the Course in Miracles says this is not the time for you to just say, oh, this is too hard for me to be in the relationship. I just have to settle into what the other person wants. It is rather for us to understand that what real commitment to a person is commitment in terms of our emotional processes, our psychological processes, our spiritual processes. But the commitment physically has to do with doing what each person feels deep down in their heart that they are supposed to do. Now, a real shift in relationships occurs when we realize a real basic principle in the Course. The Course in Miracles says you go into situations thinking there's a conflict of needs. Either that person will get what they need or I will get what I need. But the Course says, you know, when the Holy Spirit is in a situation, everybody wins. So the real issue when romantic relationships are lived from God, the Course says, is not that we say, dear God, please help him to see it my way. Or not, dear God, you know what I'm saying? But rather, when two people join together and they give it to God. When two people join together in any situation and they say, God, one person, I'm willing to give up my stuff. The other person says, I'm willing to give up my stuff. Dear God, please lead us. Please, God, dear God, please show us. And then you walk together and you really realize the issue of that deep friendship, which is the meaning of relationship anyway. Now, when you have that, you really can begin to see how our lives are meant to be full of love. Life is not meant to be something where I love this person, so I'm going to have to give up that person. You are meant on this earth to be in love with the world. That is what you were meant to have. You were meant to have myriad relationships. Now, certainly that does not mean necessarily myriad sexual partners, not at all. But the whole idea of sexuality falls into place. You know, it's one of those areas where we have this idea, and we have it in many areas of life, well, I have to police myself. Because if I don't police myself, I'm really deep down a very wild person and no telling what I might do. But the truth of the matter is, deep down, you're a very nice person. Deep down, if you'd only allow yourself to get in touch with what that deep down is, the deep down person in you is so, being the Christ itself, is so extraordinarily sensitive to what the needs of every single person are, that the real you would have no desire to hurt anyone. And sometimes when multiple sexual activity does have to do with the potential to hurt someone, it is not what the deepest person in you would care to do. But that's just one area where we're being forced to see that the real issues in romantic love, if you're going to talk about romantic love as God would have it, which is the issue of the intimate relationship with another person, sex is not the major issue. And that's something that the ego does not want us to see. Because sex itself is like we were talking about with romance in general. Whenever you have something which is of tremendous light, whenever you have something which is of tremendous love, whenever you have something which is of tremendous power to heal, that also means it's an area where there's a tremendous potential of the ego mind to misuse it. That means it's always tremendous potential of the ego mind to use it as a place in which we can obscure what is really going on. Of course, the difficulty in giving up the relationship which is based on great sex is that there's no fun. It's real difficult giving up something which has become your appetite, which has become something that you love so much. But the Course in Miracles tells us that it's just like with food. You know, when you get into a different kind of attitude about eating, sometimes you have to completely reorient your appetites, correct? Sometimes you've been eating a lot of white sugar. So you have to go through a period where you're not eating so much white sugar in order that you might develop a taste for natural sugar. When you're eating a lot of white sugar and then you eat grapes, grapes don't taste sweet. If you stop eating white sugar for so long and you taste grapes, they do taste sweet. And the same is true with our bodily appetites. We have a lot of appetites that do not represent the highest which is within us. But it is a reorientation of relationships in the level of the mind that will give us different appetites. Not through policing ourselves, not through saying, I can't, I shouldn't, he's not his body. Not that kind of stuff at all. But rather that you just think differently, and your orientation in relationship is what would be God's will here. If you are, the Course in Miracles says that there are three levels of teaching. The Course says that every relationship is an assignment that everybody was supposed to meet who does meet, and no one is supposed to meet who doesn't meet. But there are three levels. There is the first level, which we would think of as a casual encounter with someone. The second level is where people are brought together for a fairly intense learning situation. And what that means in worldly terms is that you're together with a person for a while, and then the bodies separate. Now, the Course in Miracles says what's happening there is that physical proximity has offered people the maximal opportunity for learning at this time. Now, the Course says that real relationship is not of the body. Real relationship is of the mind. So if bodies separate, that does not mean the relationship is over. The Course says relationships are never over. Sometimes when bodies separate is when relationships are actually entering their deepest phase. Because sometimes if two people are joined together and the purpose of their relationship is for each person to be built in strength, sometimes you get to a point in your life where for you to become as strong as you might be, you know, it's just like sometimes you go into the mountains by yourself, or you go through all kinds of things by yourself. And it is undeniably true that if somebody was there with you, you wouldn't be there to develop quite the same kind of muscles as you'll be if you go through it by yourself. So sometimes what's happening in romantic relationships is actually the two people are joined together and they've gotten to the point where they're really bolstering each other in becoming as strong and as abundant as they might be. And yet, let's say one or even both of those people has come to the point where in order to do that, something's got to happen by themselves. Now, like I said, the world would then say, oh, that's a shame. They, quote, didn't make it. When really what is often happening is that something even deeper and even stronger and even deeper commitment is actually occurring, but it's almost like we don't have a language with which to express it. Now, it doesn't matter what the language is by which other people understand it. As long as the people involved realize that my commitment in this relationship is much more important than the commitment of where my body is. The commitment of my body is simply to be where we feel that God is telling us to be. But the commitment, the real commitment, when I say I won't abandon you, to tell each other, we must understand as spiritual seekers that when you say to someone, I promise I will never abandon you, does not mean I will never move to St. Louis. To say I will never abandon you does not mean that I will never move my body, and it also does not mean I will never love anyone else. Because whenever you feel that someone else, loving someone else, I mean, we really, I'm a great believer in marriage. I think marriage is really a wonderful institution. I was only married for about 5 minutes myself, but it was long enough that I had an experience that told me it was different than not being married. And there was something wonderful about it. However, it obviously needs to be rethought. Because too many people get married and they think, well, because I'm married, I hear married women recently, it is unnatural for someone to feel guilty because they met someone and it excited them. Something's wrong if we feel that, well, because I'm married, I shouldn't be thrilled by meeting anyone else. And something is also wrong if I'm feeling all this, have you told him, oh no, I could never do that. Now you see, that's when relationships are not of God. Because theoretically, if this relationship is of God, you're there to be first and foremost friends. Now, certainly in every relationship, there are no behavioral rules in the Course in Miracles, so we're not saying, well, everything that happens, you have to tell your partner. But we are saying that something is off if there are things that you would tell your friends, but that you couldn't possibly tell your intimate partner, because the whole thing is set up so that their feelings don't get hurt, and their feelings will get hurt if anything outside of their picture occurs, and their picture is that you will only think about them and only love them for the next however many years. That is the ego's chief weapon for keeping you out of heaven, because heaven is the awareness of our oneness with others. Sometimes relationships are actually strengthened because of the honesty that occurs in a relationship. Once I was in a relationship where I did something that was not real kosher in terms of the involvement, and hours later I called the man to tell him that I'd done it and I was so sorry, da-da-da-da-da, and I said, oh, I shouldn't have told you. He said, no, now that would make me angry. He didn't say, how could you even think of doing what you did, but he did say, how could you even think of doing it and not telling me? for you to go through it as something outside the context of what we're working through with each other. That's more of a threat to the relationship than that you had a few stupid hours. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's relationship. And that's what commitment is. Commitment is that we realize that we're on this earth to be healed. Commitment is that we realize that we are all growing, not into someone who's there just to be fused with another human being, and if we have that fusion occur, then life has reached its emotional climax. The Course in Miracles says that the third level of teaching is indeed where people come together as lifelong assignments. That's when someone is given to you who does present you with a lifetime's opportunity for learning. But even that, you know, a lot of people, when I say that, a lot of people would think, oh, my soulmate, you know, and that I'll meet that person and everything would be great. The Course in Miracles says that just because someone provides you with a lifelong opportunity for learning doesn't mean you'll like them. Quite the opposite. Because what someone brings up, a lifetime opportunity for learning, simply means is that every button that you have is going to be pushed. What that means is that the learning is going to occur. Remember our model for relationships here as we talk about how the rough amethyst, how a jeweler smooths rough amethyst and rough emeralds, pushes all of them together, and the rough edges meet the rough edges. And so for us, the whole concept that I will have this picture in my mind, and I will try to get that person to fit into my picture in order that I might be happy. The Course says that that is not only an ego weapon, but the Course in Miracles spends hundreds and hundreds of pages on that, because the Course says it is the ego's chief weapon. For us to give that one up is tremendous. I know as a woman to give that one up is tremendous, and I assume for everyone else it also is also. I think for women it's so particularly tremendous because it literally brings up questions about our biology, about our hormones, about our having children. But the issue is not to just because those questions are difficult, that doesn't mean we should avoid them. The issue is that we should simply open our minds with each step. It does mean that societally there will be new models in childbearing. You know, to be married to a man and to have a child with him is no guarantee that he'll be there in any certain amount of time at all. And even if he's there, it doesn't guarantee that he would be there emotionally. And so the society, many of the things that are breaking down in order that they might come together on a different basis. And it does mean that we have some real questions to ask ourselves in terms of the arrangements that have to do with raising children, in terms of the arrangements that have to do with marriage, etc. But the reason the Course in Miracles is so profound is because it says, let's ask first questions first. Let's not worry about changing the institutions yet. Let's not worry about changing the form of behavior yet. Let's not worry about any of those things that will happen as an effect, the cause of which is this deep change in mind. Let's go with first things first. You met this person in order to be healed. You didn't meet this person in order to be stroked. You met this person in order to be healed. You met this person in order that this relationship might help you to become a power center on the earth. And you met this person in order that they might become a power center on the earth. It has nothing to do with each of you imposing your own pictures on each other. It rather has everything to do with both of you releasing your pictures and knowing that you are committed to that person. You are committed to knowing how they feel about this or that, talking to them about how they feel, walking through with them through how they feel with them, praying together, giving it to God together, asking for guidance together. But it is one of those areas in life, more, I think, than probably anything else, where the way of the old is so dramatically different than the way of the new. And it will mean that there is perhaps less orientation at times to the cheap drama. But as we say here all the time, when you go to God, you're not giving up drama in your life. You're only giving up the cheap drama. It's true, there will be a little less of the hysteria, there will be a little bit less of the dramatic highs and the dramatic lows, but the real drama will begin. And that has to do with a man becoming truly everything that he can be on this earth, truly becoming as powerful as he might be, as unlimited in compassion and love and self-confidence as he might be. And there is nothing more magnificent than that. There is nothing more magnificent than a woman becoming everything that she is meant to be. But if a woman is constantly nervous about whether or not he'll call, there is no way she can become what she has the potential to become. There is no way that as long as we hold on to these romantic illusions that we can become all that we are meant to be. And that is why the Course in Miracles asks us to just have the willingness to take these romantic illusions and to give them to him. Now, we think that this might involve sacrifice, but the Course says that in this area, as well as everything else, every other area where you expected sacrifice, that's the last thing you're going to be given. You are going to be given a feeling of peace and a feeling of joy and a feeling of abundance greater than any that you've ever had. And anybody who has ever been through these small steps in their lives know that it's one thing for him to call, but ultimately you realize that just because he calls doesn't mean he's there for you. And it's one thing for him to come home at the end of the night. The truth is, just because he comes home at night doesn't really mean that he's there for you. But when the dominant issue in your life is that you are there for each other, then you begin to feel a relationship which is of the heart and the mind, not perhaps of the body. And then no matter where they are and no matter what they do, you know they're there for you, and it makes you a stronger person. Only that can really make you feel loved, when you feel that someone's love is surrounding you regardless of what is happening in the human storyline of the relationship. When we begin to have those relationships, that's when we begin to grow up. Those are adult, cosmically adult relationships. And when we can begin to have those with our romantic partners, then we can begin to have those relationships with the rest of humanity. And that is where we realize that what matters is that we're here to take care of each other. And we take care of each other with our thoughts. We take care of each other with our hearts. And when God tells us to, the body is part of the program. The body is part of the program and is used in blessed ways, the Course says, when it is following the instructions of the Holy Spirit. And it's not always easy to know what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. I'll certainly vouch for that. But as long as on a moment-by-moment basis, by yourself and in conjunction with the partner, what your desire is and what your commitment is to really ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, then it doesn't even matter what's happening in the storyline because the love becomes so strong. Thank you very much. Amen.
Together we all take a very deep breath. We see in the middle of our mind a little ball of golden light. We watch this light as it begins to grow larger and larger, until now it covers the entire inner vision of our mind. We see for ourselves within this light a beautiful temple. We see a garden that surrounds the temple and the body of water that flows through the garden. We see that the inside of the temple is lit by the same beautiful golden light. We're here for we have been drawn together by the power and in the presence of God. We dedicate our time spent together and our relationships to one another to Him. And we ask that His Holy Spirit, which is within us, so guide our thoughts and our feelings and our perceptions, that we might grow to become happier and more peaceful and more loving human beings. Thank you very much. Together, we all say, Amen. My sister told me a story that I thought was great. This is not talking out of school because she's made this fact public, but my sister found out recently that she'd been diagnosed with cancer. So my sister called my brother. My sister says, Peter, I have cancer. And my brother's reaction was, it said everything you need to know about my family, not that you need to know anything. When my sister told my brother, Peter, I have cancer, he went, oh. And he hung up the phone. And he didn't call back. Oh, and he hangs up the phone and he doesn't call back. So she calls him back. She's yelling and screaming. You see, this is the difficulty we have being siblings in our family. I don't know how it is for you, but what that means, of course, is that he was devastated and had absolutely no capacity to talk to her about it. Didn't even have the capacity to say he was sorry. He was so freaked out that he did exactly what it is that he could do. Because I know, I wasn't, in a way, you know, my brother and my sister and I, have you ever found it strange being their brother or sister? Doesn't it sort of prove everything you've ever read about how souls take on the bodies, but they don't necessarily have any relationship to one another beyond that? My brother and my sister and I, we look at each other, and if we were not relatives, we would not know each other, you know? But we are relatives. That's the interesting thing. And that story of the way my brother responded to my sister's situation was so typical, because Even though he couldn't help being rude to her, that's just built in the way they interact with one another, he would do anything for her. And she knows that. And I know that about him, and he knows that about me, and she knows that about me, and I know that about her. Why? Because you're my sister. Because you're my brother. We might not even be able to really carry on a conversation that lasts through lunch. But if anything really goes down, you are my brother, you are my sister. And you know, in a lot of spiritual paths, Yi Ching talks about it to some length. It's the idea that if a family unit breaks down, a society breaks down. Families teach us something very important. And what it is commitment. Because what my brother, my sister, and I know is that even though we're strange to one another, we're in it forever. No matter what, he's my brother and she's my sister. Now, I don't know about you, but that has taught me a lot. Because what we do in this society is that people become expendable. We're always, it's like people become like plastic cups. You know, there was a time on this earth when you didn't know that many people in one lifetime. You know, I've always loved the story. Who's Emily Dickinson? She supposedly never left town. She supposedly never went out of a 5-block radius or something. And yet the world that she knew was so rich with the people that she knew. She didn't have to go to other people. Everything was with the people that she knew. You know, sometimes people will say, I've been through so much, and somebody else will say, well, at least you must have learned a lot. Not necessarily. You can go through a lot of experiences and learn nothing. You can know a lot of people in your life and never get into any depth with any of them. But when you begin to realize that this world is your family, then you begin to recognize that we have this permanent relationship with everyone if we so choose. And if we don't choose, what we do is what has become so typical of our culture and so typical of our generation, we audition people. You know, I love the way that Course in Miracles talks about how you're going to judge to see whether or not someone is worthy of your love. He says, but until you love them, he says, you're going to try to understand someone to know whether or not they are worthy of your love. But I tell you, until you love them, you will never be able to understand them. So we hold ourselves separate from people. And so we're always on eggshells with one another on a certain level. It's very difficult to relax because we're transients with one another. We come into towns where we're transient, and we come into relationships where we're transient. I'm just here to see how it feels. And if it doesn't feel great, I'm out of here. Right? And then it makes the rest of us nervous because we know, oh my God, I better act okay because if it doesn't feel great, they're out of here. But there was a time on this earth when, just like with siblings, you know that they are your siblings, there was a time on this earth where, let's say you lived still in small towns and in some societies, where people know, well, this is who I know in my life. These are the figures in my life. You know, I'm sure that if it's true that when we die, we review, we go over the people that we've known, I'm sure that at that time, it seems much clearer to us how precious our relationships are. But as it is, we don't allow ourselves to experience as fully as we might the depth of the presence and the depth of who is in our life right now. But when you just change the context, which is all that the Course in Miracles is, a miracle is not a shift out there. A miracle is a shift in here. None of the institutions in our society are going to change until we change. So there's not going to be any warmth in this culture until there's more warmth in our hearts. And that has to do with accepting that if this person is in your life, there's something there. If someone is in front of us, you know, the Course in Miracles says that one day we will recognize that any time we meet anyone, that this is a holy encounter between two children of God. That's why the Course in Miracles is so simple. What's difficult about the Course in Miracles is getting over our resistances to doing it. He says in the Course, my way is not difficult, it's just very different. It's a very different way of life than what we're taught to go into any situation and to know that the openness of my heart in this moment to whoever is there, all miracles will stem from that. Because the Course in Miracles says that every relationship is with a part of ourselves. There's only one of us here. You know, it's like the image of the wheel. We think we're like the spokes that come out from the center of the wheel, and we identify ourselves with the rim, the position on the rim. And so it looks like there are a whole bunch of us here. But if you take each spoke and you trace it down to its source point, to where it started, if they all share that same starting point, they all share that, so every spoke shares that same source point. So really, there's only one person that you ever talk to. There's only one person you've ever had a relationship with. That's why if you haven't broken through walls with a particular person, where you're going to take up in any relationship. Haven't you ever noticed how every relationship takes up where the last one left off? Because the Course in Miracles says it's not up to you what you learn. What we learn is the next step in our own hearts being totally open. So the ego mind always says, God, if I could meet someone else, if I had another job, if I had another situation, if I had another house, if I had another town, if I had another whatever, if I had more, if only the conditions were different. And the ego mind always tells us that only if the conditions were different, things would be better, simply because the ego is always out to rob us. Our ego mind always wants to rob us of what's available in this moment. You know, every spiritual path talks about how everything is in the present. And it's one thing to know that intellectually, but it's another thing to just say, well, this is it. This is it. It's like we were talking about on Saturday. What if nothing ever changes? You know, what if we're always clutching at the hope that things will be different, that things will be better. We always have that kind of, to make it better, to make it better. And even that is just the way the mind is always struggling to get us out of what is right now, which is why we have such a difficult time meditating. We have such a difficult time just quieting into a moment. The realization that this is it, right here, right now, is an amazing opening when we allow it to be. And then we begin to commit to what is. We're always looking for an experience to commit to. We're always looking for a relationship to commit to or a job situation to commit to. We're always looking for something that will really make us want to sink our teeth into it. We really want a situation that will really call up our passion. But your passion isn't called up by a person. Your passion really is called up by your readiness to experience passion. And then when we have a readiness to experience something like that, then the vehicle for it comes into our life. First, there has to be a realization, though, that there is a commitment if we choose to be a commitment. It's like knowing this is your brother forever. This is your sister forever. Families, there's something about being in a family. This is it. And we actually could see that about everyone if we chose to. But instead, we're always, like I said, auditioning. So we're always leaving. I have looked at years in my life. I've looked at spans in my life and known I wasn't really there for the experience. I can look at a decade and feel that I wasn't fully there for the experience. And one of the reasons I wasn't fully there for the experience was because I was, at that time, spending all my time wondering when life was going to start. I was always wondering when life was going to start, not recognizing that life was waiting for me. I was waiting for life to show up, and life was waiting for me to show up. A woman, a friend of mine, was saying to me not long ago, she was offered a job doing something with AIDS education in high schools. And she said, you're really going to love this, Mary. And she said, this is the way I think of it. What do you think? She says, I think that what really happened is that that's why I was sent to Los Angeles, because I was supposed to get offered this job. What do you think? I think it all makes sense now. That's why I was supposed to come to Los Angeles in order to get offered that job. Do you think that? She thought I'd love that interpretation. And I said, no, I think that you're being in Los Angeles and the things you've gone through have made you more aware. And being more aware, you've realized, oh my God, something is going on of great import in my community. Of course, I'm supposed to be part of it. It's not like you have this special assignment. It's not about somebody picking out you and saying you should have that job. It's just any time in your life when you wake up and smell the coffee and say, this is it. Whatever is happening in my world right now is enough for me to respond to. That whatever is, we're always looking for the situation to be different. But really, the situation exactly as it is a perfect jumping off point for the miracle, even if the situation doesn't seem to be wonderful. AIDS is actually an example. On one hand, it's the most horrible thing we could imagine happening. On the other hand, the very fact that it is so horrible motivates us more deeply than ever to fall to that place inside of us, which is the life where those things don't have to happen. Because even if we dysfunction, even if we malfunction, that means that we have strayed from love. We have strayed from that just incredibly relaxed place where no darkness can come into our experience because we're both so full of love and light. So then darkness comes into our experience, and the message of that is, okay, so you weren't full of love and light, be full of love and light now. And that's not speaking to specific people who have illness, because who an illness shows up in, we all have our stuff that we're dealing with, whether it's a particular disease or a particular relationship issue or a particular, or whatever it is. I always say that whoever is experienced whatever corner of darkness you experience in your life, it's like you're eating a little bit of the cosmic karma, and somebody else is eating a little bit of the cosmic karma. Somebody else is eating a little bit of the cosmic karma, but I don't know, anybody's not sitting at the table at this point. And if they're not, they will be soon. Because it's a collective wave, it's a collective harvest, it's a collective reaping of what we have all sown that is going on. And even though everybody has different problems, everybody has the answer is the same for all of us. My brother and my sisters, to me, is a perfect example because they're not into things like metaphysics, and yet I think they will be soon, don't you? I mean, because it's happening that all of us are being faced in our own individual lives with our own particular circumstances which say, either remain with your heart shut and continue the road of darkness and pain, or open your heart in this moment. That's all that a miracle is. But that means a commitment to the light. We don't have commitment in relationships in the society, like I said, because we're always wondering, well, is this the one I really want? I was going through an experience with someone just the other day where it was a situation and it brought up stuff in me and I didn't know how to express myself. I thought, well, if I'm just really the nice person that I would like to be in this moment, you know, I was getting confused sometimes. Where's that line between control and responsibility? You don't want to control a situation, but you want to take responsibility of it. You don't want to feel like you're going to be controlling and then somebody will say you're such a bitch. On the other hand, you don't want to say be everything that everybody wants you to be and then 6 months later see how it was printed and go crazy because you knew it wasn't what you wanted at the time. Right? So you're never knowing exactly how you're manifesting. You're always trying so hard, and everybody's going through their stuff and trying. And this person looked at me and said, I just want you to know that whatever goes on in this conversation, we're going to continue with this process. I'm not leaving. You know, that's like when I perform marriage ceremonies, I always liken marriage to, I say, you know, we're not saying that you won't be going through your stuff. You're in a relationship. If you're in a committed relationship, that means everybody's stuff is going to come up. Marriage is a context in which everybody's stuff is going to come up, but nobody's leaving the room. Because that's how growth occurs. And once we recognize that we are family here, then we will recognize that everything is going to come up. That's what life is for. And if you never get deeply enough into a situation, it's like somebody was saying, Jimmy was saying the other day something about, well, I realize that if I'm going to make a mark on this planet, if I'm going to, you know, you want the world to be better because you were here. But he said, I feel that if I do that, though, I also risk not always looking as wonderful as I might. That's a very valid point. If you don't take any risks, you know, if you don't go, you know, anytime you go out there to really try to make a difference in this world, you will encounter resistance from within yourself or resistance with other people. And also, unless you're an enlightened master, anytime you show up for the next step of your own growth, just think about it. By definition, the next step that you're capable of means pulling up and out the next level of who and what you are, which means there will be resistance. That ego mind is always that gravitational force field trying to keep us smaller. So by definition, once again, this growth is messy. But once again, in a family unit, doesn't matter what you go through, somebody's still your mother, still your father, still your brother, still your sister. Now, if we look at life like our family, then we recognize that we will go through experiences together. But if we look at it from the attitude of commitment, if we look at it from the attitude of what a depth in a society between people is, it means we stay in there for the process. And when that person said to me, when my friend said to me, I want you to know that we're going to do this project together and we're going to bring it to conclusion, this is not a question of whether or not we're going to do this. I just relaxed so much. In fact, I started crying. I felt so grateful for that. And that's what friendship is. And without that, that's why we are so superficial in this society, and that's why it hurts us so much. Because we're always looking for something else rather than right into the heart of one another. Everything that we need is right here, right now. That's the message of the Course in Miracles. And it's our belief that it's somewhere else and it's in a different, you know, if only I knew new people, if only I had a new job. We always wanted to be different rather than settling in to the realization that there was, like I said, a time on this earth when people knew, well, this is who is in my life. It's always a deepening into the present. It's always about a deeper conversation with who and what is. That's why, you know, we deeper conversation, you know, we don't have deep conversation necessarily. We go to run to, you know, to turn on the radio or music or something to get away from the deeper conversation. That's why sometimes, you know, there are people you can kind of feel like they're kind of like people who have new friends and you're kind of the new kid on the block or you're the A-list for a while. You know, people like that have like A-list and B-list people and you feel like maybe you were on the A-list but then you're on the B-list. There are people who like, it's like people go in and out of style. This is such a hurtful mentality. And some of the best and the brightest in this society, you know, it's very interesting about style and what's in and all that kind of stuff, because on one hand, the idea of style is very attractive to intelligent people. It's very attractive to a bright mentality. On the other hand, you have to be real careful not to include people in that. Because human hearts go through their processes. Human hearts should not have to be subject to issues of style. The human heart should not have to be subject to issues of what's in and what's out and what's new and what's not. And that's, a mother doesn't see that about her children. I mean, you are my child regardless. You are my, just as you are my sister or my brother regardless. But if we began having that about each other, think how the world would change. Sometimes people don't recognize, you know, I love that line in the Bible, you know, be aware, always be kind to strangers because you never know when a stranger is an angel in disguise. You never know who you're talking to. And the message of the Course in Miracles is that you're always talking to Jesus. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine who is in a movie, and we were talking about how there's such a temptation. You know, this person is having this, you know, big role in the movies and stuff like that, and reading all about movies all of a sudden. She's got this big role in the movie, so she's reading all about Hollywood and about the star system and all that kind of stuff. And I said, do you really want to be reading that right now? She said, why? I said, well, now let's look how that really works. You see, the Course in Miracles says that the power of spiritual practice is about realizing that the same principles are true no matter what the situation is. So this woman's substance got her where she is, not her acting, because I think that she was, I mean, I've seen her act, so I saw what a good actress she was about 3 years ago. She was as good as she is now. It wasn't that she became a better actress. It was that there was some inner homework that went on. It was her substance as a woman that got her noticed. That meant that things broke through into manifestation. She did her inner homework about allowance, about substance, about all of that kind of stuff. So what the ego mind says is, okay, it was your innocence and your substance that got you here. Thank you very much, innocence and substance. Now let's go for the worldly stuff. There's a temptation after that stuff gets you there. So I said, you know, it's very interesting because knowing about the star system in Hollywood and all that kind of stuff is not what got you here. What got you here was keeping your eyes on something higher. So now the ego mind wants you to think it's about something that it's not. And what really got her, you know, she kept talking about the fact that when she got this big role, that she went in for the interview and they didn't even make her read. And she kept saying, God, they didn't even make me read. But they didn't make her read because it wasn't about that. It was about something else. It was about a quality of her being. So now the ego mind wants her to think that something is going on here other than the arrival of the Holy Spirit into a situation. But that's all that is really happening. I don't care if it's a movie set. I don't care if it's movies. I don't care if it's painting. I don't care if it's science. I don't care if it's art. I don't care if it's teaching. I don't care if it's law. I don't care if it's medicine. When you show up, you know, it's just like sometimes people would say to me, I hear everything you say about physical healing and about, you know, miracles and how love heals. So I don't know. I mean, I'm a chiropractor. Does that mean I shouldn't be a chiropractor? No, absolutely, if you're talented, be a chiropractor, but just be very clear. You show up as a chiropractor, but it's not the chiropractic practice that's healing people. It's the quality of your energy that is healing people. It's your love and your internal power that's healing people. And the vehicle, the form for that the Holy Spirit is using is chiropractic work. But that's the same whether you're an actor or whatever. It's not the commitment to the practice that is doing something on this earth. It is your commitment to people that makes you something on this earth. That is what gives you the power. So when I said to her, are you sure you want to be reading that right now? Simply because that would tempt her. I said, why don't you wait till the movie is over? While you're in that period of the making of the film, I would think you'd want to keep your mind as much as possible on what you know is real. And I said, of course, you know you've been to the course. You're not supposed to go up and say to this major Hollywood director, I'm going to talk to Jesus about that tonight. I'll get back to you tomorrow. God, no, definitely not him particularly. Definitely not this person. But you think it. You recognize in any situation what is really going on. And the Course in Miracles says that when you recognize what's going on in any situation, it's that the power of God is needing the power of God. It's that we are a family unit which has been rent. It's like this idea of the spokes. We think we're the different spokes when really we are the source point. So we are separate from one another. And in being separate from one another, we're separate from ourselves. And it's time for the family to return home. Even that's why I love the story about my brother and my sister. He expressed his concern with his host. That he didn't know how to move past that. We love each other. We know we love each other, but we don't know how to show up for the love. And showing up for the love comes from the commitment to show up for the love. The commitment to know that this isn't about the movies. This is about my showing up in my world. My showing up knowing that anytime you are in any situation, Jesus is contacting Jesus. Now, if Jesus is not a comfortable image for you, it doesn't matter. It's a very powerful one. But you know, the Course has that beautiful image about how we're like sunbeams that think we're separate from the sun. We're like waves thinking we're separate from the ocean. But a wave can't separate itself from the ocean. A sunbeam can't separate itself from the sun. So if you meet someone, for instance, you know, let's say I've seen people be so rude. I'm not saying I've never been rude, but we all do that sometimes. You meet someone and you discount them. You're discounting yourself. You are discounting yourself. They are you. Time does not really exist except in our mind. Even Einstein said that. And space does not really exist. So it seems like that person is outside of you, but they're not really. The person you said no to was yourself. In saying yes to people, in saying yes to love. That's why sometimes, if you meet, acting is actually a perfect example of that. Have you ever noticed how a bad actor, when you watch a bad actor, you notice so much. I remember when I was a singer, I learned as much from watching bad singers as good ones. You know, you really learn a lot from mediocre performances in life if you're watching. And one of the things in bad acting, whenever you're looking at somebody and saying, no, that didn't really make it, look what they're not doing. Every time, they're not listening to the other actor. It's like they went, you always get the impression from mediocre actors that they studied the script and they totally decided, let's say they decided how they were going to do a certain line reading. And then they showed up for the scene, and they thought, well, I'm going to give my line, let's say my line is, I'm going to go home now. Well, if you decided, I'm going to read this line, I'm going to go home now a certain way, regardless of how the person who says, I'm staying here. Okay, let's say someone says, I'm going to stay here in St. Louis. All right, well, if you've already decided, you're going to say, well, I'm going to go home now. Regardless of how you say, I'm staying here in St. Louis, then what if they say it a different way? And your response to it doesn't match anymore because they did it differently. Well, if you don't show up for that moment, if you don't show up for that moment listening to how they said, I'm staying here in St. Louis, there's no way you can show up with greatness no matter how much you decided to read the line in a way you thought was great. Doesn't that make sense? And a great performer, a great anything, always, there's always a quality of showing up in that moment. Showing up in that moment for whatever it is, because that's what the commitment has got to be to. Commitment has got to be to the plasticity and the flexibility that comes from you're in a situation with other human beings. And because other human beings, that's in this moment, in any given moment, that's where the real, you know, it's like you can practice in life, but life itself is you know, the lights are on, the curtains are open, whatever it is, you have to just be there in that moment with a commitment to show up with a love and an open heart. And as long as you do that, everything else will take care of itself. If you close your heart, however, in any situation, then no matter what tools you're showing up with, no matter how good your script is, no matter how good you rehearse, no matter what your practice is, you didn't make a commitment to the healing of hearts. And if you didn't make a commitment to healing of hearts, you're not going to get what you want on this earth. It just doesn't work. That's why love is a win mentality. That's what we have to realize, is that love and open-heartedness is not, you know, the life of God is not a life of sacrifice. The life of God is a life of opening our hearts to passion. It's a life of opening our hearts to supposedly those 90% of the brain cells that we aren't using. And we're sitting here thinking, well, if my job was different, or if my health was different, or whatever it is was different. And yet, it's not things that need to be different. It's how we hold an experience that needs to be different. How much are we really listening to the person who is in front of us? You know, it's always very interesting because the Holy Spirit speaks to us through our brothers. But to say he speaks to us through our brothers, have you ever noticed, I notice often in my life how, you know, sometimes let's say somebody will come to me, let's say for counseling or something like that, and I don't know them. I don't know their history. But that's fine sometimes. Because sometimes if you're coming from principle, your take on a situation is fresher if you don't know the history. It's fresher if you don't know. So sometimes I've noticed how I'll just have a casual conversation with someone, and they will say to me, who doesn't know me, and they'll say something like, well, it sounds to me like da-da-da-da-da, and I'm like blown away. They hit it. They got it. You know? Because it might be that their take, it has nothing to do, where you get wisdom from, where you get your inspiration in life from, has nothing to do with how many people you meet, how many experiences you have. It's like Emily Dickinson. She didn't have to go out of town. What she got from the little quantity of experience that she had, and you might be thinking, yeah, but she was a genius. But so are you. The Course in Miracles says that what you have, the abilities that we now have are shadows of what we're capable of. It's not that we need more anything. That's why children learn so much more than you and I do. Children are just incredible what they can learn, and you and I were once children. It's not that children are smarter than adults. It's they're more open. They haven't shut down. They're just open to that moment. They have not learned yet not to show up fully for the present moment. We're always wanting to be elsewhere. We can't just sit here. We can't just be here. And like I said, that's why we can't meditate. To really know that this moment, for us to listen to whoever it is, because like I said, it's not just listening to another person. You're listening to yourself. You know, sometimes when I'm with people who are ill or people who are older or something like that, and I find myself finding it within myself, perhaps, hopefully, to have more patience with them because they're sick, or more patience with them because they're older, or whatever it is. I'm always very clear that I'm hoping, as I do that, that if I'm ever sick, somebody will be more patient with me, or if I'm ever old, that someone will be more patient for me. This generation had better start slowing down and showing some more respect for older people, or we are going to have the most hellish old age on the history of the planet. Because we have no concept of going through time with people. We have no concept of the commitment, it seems to me, the commitment to the process of time. Process of time has to do with people getting older. But people getting older doesn't have to be bad. In fact, I've thought about and mentioned here before how I feel that one of the things that has been very unfortunate about AIDS is that in the gay community, and it's something to definitely, definitely look at, because we see how our collective thoughts create our experience. Often in the gay community, you will hear people have such a, and all of our society does it, but I think particularly in that subculture, this emphasis on youth. Well, if you have lots and lots of people saying, oh God, I don't want to ever get old, that's very dangerous. If we have a prejudice against getting old because we think that we need our youth, we need this to be acceptable. And if that's how we make other people feel, well, if you're young and gorgeous, you're acceptable? And if you're not young and gorgeous, you're not acceptable? Well, if that's what we're putting out, then that's what life is hearing. And so everything else does get cut off. Well, we must open our minds and saying people are acceptable to us because they are people. And it doesn't matter if they're young, it doesn't matter if they're old, it doesn't matter what they look like. That in this moment, when we respond, when you respond to anyone for anything, it could be you. It could be you. And it seems to me that anything that we don't open our hearts to will be us. I think that's really all that the growth of consciousness is about. So if we're not right now, if we don't respect elders, you know, we have this, what we do with old people, we just kind of like, you know, try to get rid of them in one way or the other. Well, that cutting off of something so important is what then contributes to our fear of getting old. And one of the reasons we're afraid of getting old is because we know how we treat older people. But we are responsible for the difference in context all the time. We're creating a different context collectively as well as individually all the time. And that means that in any given moment that we choose to, we can recognize that so much is going on, so much more is going on in any moment than we have any idea. In any moment. You know, it's like you can look around at a room like this, and it's like a kaleidoscope. You can look at it any way you want. You can look at this room, and it's like how much time you allow yourself to spend on what's really going on. I have an interesting vantage point because I get to look from up here, and I see all these different bodies. And I can see how my mind can interpret any situation various ways. I can see just a lot of different bodies and who are you and what you're wearing. I could just, you know, just your collection of bodies. But then the Course in Miracles says, look at what this really is. Think of all the hopes and the dreams that are in this room. Think of what Dostoevsky could do with it if he really knew what every person in this room had been through. You see, but Dostoevsky couldn't have written what he wrote. You know, sometimes I sit at my computer, I'm writing a book, and I think about not only did Dostoevsky not have a computer, he didn't have a typewriter, did he? I mean, he couldn't have, right? I mean, there wasn't a typewriter. Am I wrong? If I am, this is on tape. Tell me now. Even if he did, there have been great... They just sat down and they wrote it. Think what people did in the old days. They sat down and they wrote it. I mean, it's amazing. But first they had to experience it before it could come out as art. You know, the highest art is living your life. You don't have to be in the movies for your life to have meaning. You don't have to be a painter for your life to have meaning. Your life is a movie, and you're the star of it. And you're showing up in your world is the script. And you write it all the time, and you direct it all the time. And it has to do with, you know, it's like Dostoevsky, that fertile imagination, or any great novelist. It's not, it's like he could have met, you could have gone along with him every day of his life. You could have said to Dostoevsky, could I like hang with you for a week or so? And he said, sure. And let's say you could have gone through every experience that he went through that week. You could have met everybody that he met. You could have been standing there for every conversation. You could have been in, you could have had every conversation that he had. It wasn't that he had those experiences, it's what he did with them. But what any artist is someone who is a penetrating observer. I remember a teacher of mine who once said to me, Marianne, your problem is you don't observe enough. I meet a lot of people who, it seems to me, don't observe very much. They don't just stand there to really witness. You know the old blues concept, can I find a witness? Boy, that's a marvelous one. Can I find a witness? I remember there was a girl in my life, a girlfriend, and we knew each other at a time when her life was extremely difficult and my life was extremely difficult in about a two-year period. And it was so interesting because you know how sometimes when you know people, when you're going through something and there's nothing they can do, but if they'll even just come over and sit with you, can I find a witness? And that's the agony, that's the whole story of Jesus in the agony in the garden. He says, will you not even remain awake with me through my agony? Can you not just do that for me? To show up for people, to just stand there with them, to be in that moment, to listen. And anything else, you think you're doing so much, but if you let people get by, you completely miss life. And that's why I said, I went through a decade or so, I missed it. I look back at some of the people I have known, some of the experiences I've been in, and I cannot believe I missed it. And there might have been time involved. There's so many things. And at the time, and I've looked back at experiences, I mean, most of us have, where I would long for the opportunity to do it again. And yet I remember at the time I was bored. Right? And at the time I was bored. I didn't realize how much was right there. Because I kept thinking, no, it needs to be different. It doesn't feel quite right. Thinking that it was a different person. I had to be a different person. Or I had to be a different circumstance. Not realizing that it was my failure to open up to the experience for exactly what it is that was not there. It's not a matter of what we go through. It's a matter of who shows up. Because the beauty of it is, let's say you're a painter and you need to have certain, you say, okay, I want to paint this picture. I want reds and purples and pinks. Okay, I don't want to work with blues. This is my red and purple and pink period. And you want all the paints to be on your palette. The amazing thing, according to the Course, is that whatever the situation is in your life at this moment, I don't even mean this year, I mean this moment, this night, who's sitting next to you, even to the nth detail, God Himself, the Holy Spirit, which is this giant, incredible computer, has already put the colors on your palette that are perfect for the painting that's up for you at this moment. You don't have to make the classroom experience different than it is. You just take for granted, this couldn't be more perfect. But you have to say, okay, I'm willing to show up for the experience. And we don't have commitment to one another. We say, no, you're not really the one I want to have the experience with, so I'm leaving, or whatever it is, this isn't perfect. And that's why when my friend said to me, I want you to know that no matter what we go through in this situation, I'm in it. We're in this together. There was a commitment of friendship to that. And like I said, I cried. It was so touching to me because I felt like, oh, God, if I go into this particular, obviously what is my learning experience, then this person will think I'm not the palette and I'm not the color that they want on their palette right now, and they'll move on. We can change that context by just recognizing that we know each other for a reason. And we have witnessed with one another. I've seen that from these lectures. I've been lecturing now for almost 6 years, and some of us have gotten to know each other, and it's the closest to family that I know a lot of people have had, because in this generation, in a culture like this, we don't, you know, things go in and out of style, and we go in and out of town, and we go in and out of relationships. But something like spiritual fellowship can be a beginning of the tracing of a new groove, the creating of a new context where these are the people in my life, and it doesn't really have to be any different than this. I will witness for them. We've shown up for each other's weddings. We've shown up for each other's illnesses. We've shown up for each other's births. We've shown up for each other's pregnancies. We've shown up for each other's deaths. That's real life. That's meaning. That's what novels are made of. You know, it's like Shakespeare knew there are just so many plots and that's it. There are just so many storylines over and over again. So you can run to different people, but if you'd allow any one particular one to develop the way the Holy Spirit would have it unfold, there's great depth in everyone. There's great potential for depth in every human encounter. And there's a great potential for miracles in every human encounter. So let's not seek to be elsewhere. We don't have to. We can just sink into this moment and really show up there for one another. That's what we're all doing these days. We're all learning. We're all going through the fact that we love each other so much. And we keep pretending that we don't. We keep pretending that something is going on here other than our deep need for human connection. And I know in my family what I've seen is very amazing because I know how much we love one another. And I know that sometimes, you know, I always say about Jews anyway, we bitch as a form of endearment, you know. I remember my friend Evan and I, you know, we have this Gentile friend who came into our lives, and one day he said, I can't stand the way you fight with each other. And we looked at him and said, we're not fighting, we're Jewish. I mean, this is not fighting. And I knew that, and I knew that's why when some people heard that my brother said, oh, shit, they thought, oh, what a terrible response. And I knew, oh, he loved her so much. Well, you can expect other Jews to understand, but other people don't. So it's our responsibility to get past it and also to recognize that we all need the support of standing up in any given moment and knowing that the only truth is that we all want love here. We all want depth, and it's not found anywhere else. It's found right here. This person is your sister no matter what. This person is your brother no matter what. This person is the person in this moment, in this circumstance, no matter what. And we are all family, and that's the way it's going to be. And if we shut down in our affection, a showing of our affection for one person, we're just going to keep running up against the same walls and the same situations with other people. And really, the only truth in any of our hearts is that we do love each other. I know that's true about everybody in this room. We all appear different, but we're not. I know I've suffered in my life, and I know you've suffered. And I know I have certain dreams in my life, and I know you have yours. I have certain hopes and certain fears, and I know that yours are identical. I don't kid myself anymore. So there's no reason not to relax with you. Why should any of us hide? Why should we pretend anything is going on? Think of the people that you have really known. When you have really known people and you have really seen what's in their depth, why should you assume that anybody else in the room is any different? I don't know about you, but when I realize that, I am much more comforted. I'm much more comforted than when I fail to realize it. I'm not waiting for you to be different. I'm just assuming that the way you are is just like me. And I know that there are some eyes, you know, it's like in Corinthians where he says, I used to see us through a glass darkly, and now I don't. I see face to face. We don't have to see through a glass darkly. We can see face to face. And when we do see face to face, that's when we're all just naked. It's when we do realize that we are all really beautiful, and we really are enough, and we really do love one another. And we can stop pretending. We don't have to pretend anything else is going on. Because the truth of the matter is, this is not that long a ride. We may as well just show up for the experience. I don't know about you, but I don't want to die and in my last moment think, oh, hell, I missed it. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.